Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you get the best quality meat. So let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
When someone goes missing, it's the people closest to them that become the potential suspects. On April 12, 2008, a young mother went missing in a case that saw the three men closest to her become persons of interest in her murder. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Susan Casey, Susie to those who knew and loved her, was, in the year 2008, a 34-year-old mother of four children living in the small town of Glendive, Montana. Having recently separated from her second husband, Ted Casey, Susie was settling well into her new life as a single mother and was described by friends, family, and even her in-laws as kind, easygoing, and just an all-around good woman and mother. Which is why when she suddenly disappeared on April 12, 2008, it shook their entire world. According to the sources, on that cold spring morning, Susie's new boyfriend dropped her off, quote, 20 steps from the front door of her apartment at around 5:30 a.m. in what would eventually become the last time anyone ever saw the young mother again. Her children were home at the time, but when speaking with officers, they all said that they didn't hear or see anything. But when she didn't return home and didn't answer any of the phone calls placed by her brother or sister-in-law, they went ahead and reported her missing to the police. As soon as they arrived at Susie's home, they knew that something was amiss. There, as if someone was forcibly dragged from her apartment door, were marks and scuffs that signified a struggle. Immediately launching a thorough search involving 1,700 square miles, dozens of volunteers on horseback and foot, and all-terrain vehicles, everyone waited with bated breath for close to a month when, much to their shock and devastation, Susan Casey's body was found floating down the Yellowstone River. There was no doubt that this case involved foul play, and when taken in for an autopsy and her cause of death was determined to be strangulation with, quote, considerable force, done before she was placed in that water, their suspicions were confirmed. Now it was time to look at their three main suspects: Brad Holzer, the new boyfriend, Ted Casey, the recently estranged husband, and Walter Marty Larson Jr., the first husband. Men who, on the day of her disappearance, were all on her street for one reason or another, but never actually interacted with one another. According to his claims, on the night before her disappearance, Susie was with Brad Holzer, who, after picking her up at 11 p.m. and driving her to the river for some drinks, claimed he dropped her off that morning, but did not see her actually enter her apartment door. Brad, a married man, was at the top of the list because he was the last person to see Susie Casey alive. But when looking into both he and his wife, who they also felt could be a potential suspect, they were both ruled out via surveillance videos, phone records, and their separate interviews. Moving down the list, Ted Casey was similarly ruled out, which left them with one option, Marty Larson. According to his interviews, Marty had been driving to Susie's home that night because he claimed that he was worried about her. But he told the officers that when he knocked on the door and got no answer, he decided to park around the corner and wait for her to come home. He said that he left soon thereafter, but the surveillance video showed that a car looking a hell of a lot like Marty's was still sitting parked near the apartment after Brad Holzer dropped Susie off that night. Digging a little deeper, investigators learned that Marty and Susie, marrying in 1993 and having two children together, filed for divorce in 1997. Though it was finalized in 1998, according to the court documents, Marty did not want the divorce and did not have contact with his children for years following the end of his marriage. In 2007, Susie finally allowed Marty visitation, and according to his claims, the pair had been discussing the idea of moving to Rapid City together sometime soon. What he didn't know until just before her disappearance was that Susie was seeing someone, Brad, and that the pair were engaged in an intimate relationship. He told officers that he was, quote, hurt by the news, but thought that the pair were no longer together and said that there were plans for he and Susie to get back together once her divorce with Ted was finalized. He said he was at her home that night because he was worried that she might have been drinking and driving, but believing that she must have passed out somewhere, he decided to leave and head back to his own home. Now, police already knew that that wasn't the case, and coupled with the claims that, the day before she went missing, Susie had complained that Marty had been calling her incessantly, over 40 calls in 2 days to be exact, and even asked her daughter how to block a cell phone number, investigators had a pretty good idea of who might be responsible for her murder. There were even emails from someone named Denise Johnson sent to Brad Holzer asking things like, how's your girlfriend? How does your wife feel about it? That, when looked into, were found to have come from Marty Larson's computer. And calls made to Brad's wife, Sam, the week before from a person saying to tell her husband to stop messing around with married women. 2 days after her disappearance, Marty Larson was arrested for violating the restraining order she filed against him back in 1998. Though the judge dismissed the charge because he was not notified of the order, on February 22, 2012, with no clear indication on why they waited so long after her body was found, Walter Marty Larson Jr. was arrested and charged with the murder of Susan Casey, as well as tampering with evidence. Found guilty of deliberate homicide, Marty was sentenced to a 100-year sentence plus 10 more years for the tampering charge and was required to pay $15,000 in funeral costs as well as $1,000 in jury expenses. He will not be eligible for parole until he has served at least 30 years behind bars. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on April 13th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.